verdade.
Okay, let's start with that.
Jesus loves me, this I know,
for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong.
Yeah.
Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. One door and only one, and yet its sides are two, inside and outside, on which side are you? One door and only one, and yet its sides are two, I'm on the inside, on which side are you?
All right, and let's sing 41.
Around the throne of God in heaven will many children sing. Children whose sins are all forgiven will heavenly anthems bring, singing glory, glory, glory be to God on high. In shining robes of spotless white, each one will be arrayed, dwelling in everlasting light and joys that never fade, singing glory, glory, glory be to God on high. What brings them to that world above, that heaven so bright and fair, where all is peace and joy and love? How came those children there, singing glory, glory, glory be to God on high? Because a Savior shed his blood to wash away their sin, now washed in that most precious blood, behold them white and clean, singing glory, glory, glory be to God on high.
All right. I hope every boy and girl this morning is going to be one of those ones that we're just singing about. One that in heaven is going to say, glory, glory, glory be to God on high. Won't that be a privilege to be in heaven and to be able to sing like that to the Lord Jesus? And we'll be able to see him. It won't be like now when we have meeting. We know he's in the midst. And we hear that a lot in meeting, don't we? But we don't see him with our eyes. But someday, we're going to look on him, just like we're looking at each other. Shane can look at Dakota, and Dakota can look at Shane. And you can see each other, and you can see your smiles. And that's how it's going to be someday with the Lord Jesus. So even though today we can't see him like that, someday it will be like that. So does somebody have another song? All right.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So let not one spot remain. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the blood that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious.
The blood of Jesus. How did Jesus' blood come out? Dakota? Do you remember what happened? Pardon? Yeah, the blood came out. Do you remember? He had his hands, one of them over here, one of them over here, and his feet down there. And then they took big nails and they put them in his hands and his feet. Big nails. And they put him up, and there was a wooden cross, and they put him, and they pounded the nails into the cross, just like that. And that happened about 2,000 years ago. And then, what happened? When they pounded the nails in, the blood came out, right? Because that's what happened when we get something into our skin. But, you know, the Lord Jesus, the Spirit of God, has never spoken about that blood that came out of the hands and out of the feet. What happened after he was dead? Do you remember? Right after? Remember a soldier came along? Yeah, that's right. He went to heaven. But what about even before that? Yes. Shane said they put in a spear. They took a spear, a soldier, right into his side. And out came, says, blood and water. And you know, it was important that it was then because that was after he was dead. When they pounded the nails into his hands and to his feet, that was before he was dead. But, and at that time, he hadn't suffered yet for our sins. Remember the 3 hours of darkness? And everything got black. Nobody could see anything. And there he was, hung up. And God punished him during that time for our sins. So when they pounded the nails into his hands, into his feet, at that time he hadn't suffered for our sins. But then after he had suffered for our sins, then they took the spear and they put it into his side. And then that was the testimony that the sacrifice had been killed. And that blood came down and flowed down onto the cursed ground. And through that blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. So let's sing maybe one or two more.
Precious blood of Jesus shed on Calvary, shed for rebels, shed for sinners, shed for me. Precious, precious blood of Jesus.
Receive it for thee.
2.
Ave, O child of seven, or even 3 or 4.
Does anyone know the verse for this week? Does anyone know the verse? I have a few candies here. Yes, Samuel.
Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink."
Very good. Go ahead.
John 7:37. Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink."
Go ahead, stand up. I'll help you. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and you do when you're thirsty. Very good. Okay. Stand up, Yoda. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and what? What do you do when you're thirsty? Take a big just water you drink it, right? Yeah. Okay. Any others? No? What about Katie? Do you want to say 1 Corinthians 15? No? Okay. Jack's too young. Molly's too young? Okay. A bit in the back row. Anybody hungry for some candy? No? All right. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. It's not too hard. Just come and drink. And all of us are thirsty in our souls. We all need that water. From when we were a little child, we didn't choose to be born a sinner, but we are. By nature, by practice, we're sinners. But the Lord Jesus, here he says to those sinners, let him come unto me and drink. And you know, he is the water of life. We read a verse in Romans that says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's go to John 10. John 10 and verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. So all of us understand what a shepherd is. He has a whole bunch of sheep. And I remember being at one point in Romania, and we climbed up to the top of this big mountain. We looked down, and there was a shepherd, and he had a whole bunch of sheep around him. And there were some cattle on another hill, and over here was some more cattle, and you could look. It was a beautiful view. It was lower everywhere, all around. And so this shepherd, this man, he was taking care of his sheep. And if the sheep started to walk away from the shepherd, maybe like David, he'd have a sling. And maybe he'd hit a stone right beyond the sheep. And then the stone would hit another stone and it would make a big sound. And then the sheep would come running back to the shepherd, right? Because he's scared. Isn't that right? So that's what a shepherd does. He scares the sheep and then the sheep comes running back to him. And you know, it says he calleth his own sheep by name. So, I don't know about this shepherd and how well he knew his sheep. But the Lord Jesus is our shepherd. He knows each one by name. And here it's not too hard to know all the kids' names because there aren't as many of you. But if you think of all the people in the world, there are about 7 billion people in the world. That's a lot of people's names to know, isn't it? You know what? The Lord Jesus, he knows each and every name. And he wants each and every one of you here this morning to turn to him. And you know what the good shepherd did? Let's go later on in the chapter. It says, verse 11, it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So you know what? This shepherd, I don't know if he'd give his life for the sheep, but what would happen if a wolf came? What would the good shepherd do that we just read about, Jesus? What would happen if a wolf came? Yeah, Shane? Yeah. The wolf would eat all the sheep, wouldn't he? That'd be terrible. So what is the good shepherd going to do to stop that? Is he going to get in the way? What do you think, Caleb? Yeah. He might just throw a stone at it with his sling, right? Or this shepherd, I don't know if he had a knife. Maybe he had a gun. I'm not sure. But he was going to take care of his sheep, wasn't he? And the Lord Jesus, you know, he's the same way. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd is willing to give his life for the sheep. And then verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. And then verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received in my Father. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." And then let's go back to John 6 and verse 37 says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." So what do you think that means? I will in no wise cast out. You know, what that means is that each one who comes to the Lord Jesus, there's no way that you will be refused. That means that every last single one of you, one person that comes to the Lord Jesus, maybe any of those 7 billion that say to Jesus, "Jesus, I want you to save me. I want you to be my Savior. And I'm sorry for what I did. Please wash away my sins." It means that every last single one who is willing to do that, Jesus will not refuse. He will say, "Yes, come." Just like a good shepherd to his sheep. There's, Jim Hyland just said in the gospel last night, he spoke about the sheep and how there might be 99 and then one goes astray, and the Lord Jesus, he's not willing to let that one just go. He wants to go and get that one. Let's turn to Luke 18. 19, actually. Luke 19. Verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man..." Who's that talking about, Samuel? Son of Man. Very good. "Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." So, I need 2 volunteers. You want to volunteer? All right, Shane, what about you, Dakota? What I need you to do is Dakota's going to hide, and Shane, you're going to seek, okay? It's going to be hide and seek. All right, so you sit back on your chair, Shane, and you close your eyes. Don't open them. Now, Dakota, go hide. Be quiet. He might be able to hear you if I don't keep speaking. All right, let's give him 5 more seconds. Don't open your eyes. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. He's looking all around, high and low, and everywhere a sheep might go. There's a lot of people here, isn't there? Looking all around for his sheep. Where did he go? Keep looking. Boy, the sheep is really lost. Where is the sheep? Very good. All right, we need 2 more volunteers. Samuel and Stephen? All right. We're going to let Stephen hide, okay? Samuel, give him 20 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Very good. So we saw an example of someone seeking and someone finding that one. So it took a long time for some people, and for some people it only takes a short time. Maybe some people get saved when they're really young, and they're just maybe 2 or 3 years old. And then some people it's a little bit older. I think just recently we were singing this song that Samuel gave out, and it goes, "A little child of 7, or even 3 or 4. But you know, recently somebody came through, and they said, "A little child of 7, and they wanted to sing it, or even 77, or even 34. And that's what we sing. And that's true. There are some people, when they're very, very much in their older years, they come to the Lord. And it's wonderful when we can come when we're young, but it's best to come. If you're not going to come when you're young, and you refuse the Lord Jesus when you're young, you can still come when you get older. But today is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Because, see, some people can say, "Oh, well, you know, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait till I'm 20. I'm going to wait till I'm 30. Maybe they're saying, "I'm going to wait till I'm 15. Whatever it is. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You shouldn't wait. Although if you're an older one today and you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, you still can. That's what I mean. You still can accept Jesus as your Savior. Let's turn to another verse in Matthew. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 11 says, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost." The Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. So we had seeking to save in the last scripture we read, but this one just says save. And if you look at the context here, if you look what just came before, it's talking about little children, little ones. And you know, sometimes a little baby dies. We have somebody at work, and she is about 40, about 40s maybe, and she was a grandmother, and her husband was a grandfather for the first time just last week. For the very first time last week. And, you know, they went to the hospital and they saw the baby, and it was a little baby boy, and they were all excited, and the father and the mother, they brought their little child home. And they are taking care of it. And about 5 o'clock the next morning, the mother woke up, and here the baby was no longer breathing. And she couldn't believe it. But her little baby had died. It was called something, it was called SIDS. Sudden Infant Death Syndrome is what they called it. And you know what? That little baby, though, if it had survived, it would be brought up in a non-Christian home. And there's a possibility that it wouldn't be going to heaven. But from this verse, we read, "The Son of Man has come to save that which was lost." That little boy went straight up to heaven. He didn't have to accept Jesus as a Savior. He didn't understand. He was too little to understand. But you children this morning are old enough to understand that you've done things that are wrong. Just last week, I asked a little girl, "Have you done anything wrong?" And the little girl said, "Yes." I said, "What did you do wrong?" And she said, "I beat up my sister." And she got all red. She was blonde-haired. She got all red. And she was really embarrassed. Has anybody ever done that before? Beat up their sister? Their brother? Yeah, that's wrong, isn't it? That's a sin. So it's pretty easy to realize that we're sinners. And what we have to also realize is that we can't do anything ourselves. It's like writing on it with permanent marker. We can't take it off. But the blood of the Lord Jesus, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. There's not one sin that you can do that he cannot wipe away with his precious blood. So let's sing another one, another two maybe.
Forty-six.
Glad
T-I-N-G-S-I-V-R-I-N-G. Right.